Welcome to Abundance, Money, Marketing, and Mindset with Joyce Logan and Charlene Chiaro. With their wisdom, empathy, and laughter, author of Starving Your Fears, Joyce Logan, PhD, and business expert and motivational speaker, Charlene Chiaro, are passionate about helping you live the life you desire. Whether struggling with stress in your personal or professional world, they'll calm your nerves and help you create a plan so you can truly enjoy your life by changing the way you look at things. Join Charlene and Joyce now.
Welcome to Abundance. I'm Joyce Logan, and I'm here with my co-host, Charlene Chiaro, and we'll be talking about money, marketing, and mindset, shifting into the life you desire on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Friday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen online on your mobile devices, in your car, or ask Alexa. To learn more and for a full schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for the Omega Institute. Hello, hello, Charlene. How are you?
Hello, hello, Joyce. I'm good. How are you?
I am great. It's a little bit of a rainy-ish day where we are, but it's all good. This is what the show is all about, isn't it?
It is.
Finding the good even when the skies in your life are gray. Yeah. So today, I pulled a card, not only for us, Charlene, but I pulled it for everyone listening. And as usual, it's for the entire month of October. And I really spent a lot of time praying over these cards. I felt like a heaviness that everyone needed a very special message. So this is the one that fell into my lap. And it's Archangel Raphael. Usually, Raphael is related more about health, but this card is about love. So Archangel Raphael, in addition to being the angel of health and traveling, is the patron of soulmates. Raphael can help with significant relationships, including those of romance, friendship, business, and family. It can also help you to manifest the soulmate partnership of your dreams. This card signals that a significant relationship is on your mind. It may be romantic in nature, or it may be an intimate but platonic friendship. Communication is key right now, and it's important to develop trust within the relationship. You can safely share your feelings with someone close to you. It's also time to make an important decision about your life. The conclusions you reach now greatly influence your future. So it's important to weigh your options carefully. Make sure your choices are thoroughly considered and that you're able to act upon them. This is also a time for balance and a return to good health. So that's it. Yay for that. Yay for all of you. We're all going to have love and great relationships. And so this is the time. This is October. And I've been feeling that October is just, it's going to be like a reboot again, but in a good way, we've all been through so much of the snow globe of life being shaken in 2020 and continuing in 2021. But I just feel like it's going to take a shift now. How are you feeling about that, Char?
I think so too. I just was away for a week, and I was with one of my favorite cousins and a very good friend of mine who I've been friends with for over 30 years. And it was such a nice time away. We went to the beach down south, and it was just really a really relaxing, nice time to just be, just be together and just hang out and just start enjoying things and just kind of take a little bit of downtime before the fourth quarter, which is always a busy time for all of us who are in business. We're looking at, what we've done in the past 9 months, what we need to do in the next 3 months, and what we want to do for 2022. And I think it's always a good time to, kind of go away and just reconnect. I know for me, it was a really nice time to just to kind of be, not think so much about my business, not think so much about my clients, but just kind of think about what I want in my life moving into the next year, and what that means to me about living my best life.
So were and you able to do that while you were away? Did you
feel that? No. Yeah.
But that's important for everyone to take that break, isn't it? Even if you can't go down south and sit on a beach, you can still do that at home.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important, you know, we talk a lot, Joyce, you always talk about how you meditate out on your back deck and mm-hmm. how when you look, you know, into the trees and into the sky and what that means, or if people go for a walk every day for exercise, or they just go and do, you know, something for themselves. It's very important to do something for yourself every day.
It is. Saying thank you. Just, you know, I look up at the sky or the trees and I just say, I love you. I love you. Thank you. And that lifts my spirits and grounds me. And yeah.
You know, it's so important to do that. It's so important to really, especially after what the world has basically been through for the past almost 2 years now, to look at what you really want in your life and don't wait. Just go for it, whatever that may be.
Those baby steps, right?
That's right.
Just start moving in that direction. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like when you're driving in the car and you turn your head a little bit, it's just amazing that your car is going in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary too. So, mm-hmm. But it's a good thing to know that that's how it works. When you start thinking about something mm-hmm. in that direction, things open up. Phone calls happen. The right people walk into your life. So you can't stay with a negative. Even on a gray, rainy day where you may not mm-hmm. be feeling, you know, your best, think about something that makes you feel good. You know, as soon as I said that, I thought of, I want hot chocolate and toast. This is fun. Yes,
that's a good lunch.
It's just, I want some hot chocolate and mm-hmm. toast.
You know, Joyce, I think that we all, you know, when we start working or we start our lives as adults, you have a vision of what you think it should be. Mm. And it's not always that. You know, my friends who I went to visit down south, he was a vice president of a company for years and years and years and worked around the clock and was always stressed and was always busy and working. And now he has an hourly job that he does. You know, he's almost at retirement age, but took this job and it just works out with the way the schedule is. He has told me he has 16 days off in October. Absolutely loves his job. He goes in, he does his job, he goes home, and he said, I've never been happier.
Wow.
And it was like so, it was so nice for me to actually sit down with my, you know, friend's husband and around a table, and we all were talking, and he wasn't nervous and he wasn't looking at his phone constantly and he wasn't, you know, thinking what else he had to do. He doesn't have to do anything in this house. I mean, he has to cut his lawn, but his neighbors love cutting lawn, so they end up cutting his lawn. They used to have a pool here in Connecticut, and there they have a community pool, and basically no one uses it, and it's their own pool. They go every day.
Wow.
I mean, it's a nice life for them, and I'm so happy for them that they were able to make the decision to live their best life at this time when they're both healthy and they're both in good shape and they're, you know, they both want to still travel and do things. And they've, in the short time that they've been there, they have made so much out of that move. And I was just so happy to see how happy they are and how nice it is for them as a couple and their children are grown, but that their children can come and visit them. And it's a really nice place for them to be. So I'm glad that they made their decision and moved. Yeah.
Yeah. That, and it's just great to hear, because I bet at some point, if you ever told him he'd be working an hourly job, he would say mm-hmm. no way.
That's right.
But as it turns out, it was the best thing he ever did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to take a little break right now, and we're going to come back with a very special guest. Do you want to tell them?
Yes. It's my client and friend. Her name is Jessica Riley. And she has an amazing story to tell about how she transformed her life and how, for most of her adult life, she was living a life that wasn't what she wanted. And now it is something that she absolutely loves. And she took a huge step in her life. And I can't wait to share her story with all of you and introduce you to Jessica. So we'll be right back.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich peanut-based ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
Are you ready to live a life filled with abundance and learn how to thrive, not just survive in today's world? Then tune in to Abundance, Money, Marketing, and Mindset with Joyce Logan and Charlene Chiaro every Friday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. With their combined wisdom as entrepreneurs, motivational speakers, author, and counselors, Joyce Logan and Charlene Chiaro will share ways for shifting into the life you desire for today's world. They'll help you go from panic to peace in your personal and professional life.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Do you suffer with stress, anxiety, and chronic fears? Then you need to read Dr. Joyce Logan's book, Starving Your Fears, From Panic to Peace in 10 Easy Steps. Dr. Logan also suffered with anxiety, and through her years of research, she healed herself and helped countless others in her private practice. Starving Your Fears will give you the tools you need to change your life from panic to peace. Order Starving Your Fears by Joyce Logan on Amazon.com or go to joycelogan.com.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For over 40 years, Omega has seen more than 1 million people come through its doors to grow, learn, and find a greater sense of purpose. With over 350 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Okay, welcome back to Abundance Talk Radio. This is Charlene Chiaro. I'm here with my co-host, Joyce Logan, and our special guest today is Jessica Riley. Jessica is an entrepreneur, a solution finder, a transgender advocate, and a father. It's never too late to live your best life, no matter what the cost. And when you're aligned with yourself, your true self, your world changes for the better. Jessica Riley was only born 6 years ago, although she had been wanting to emerge for over 50. She was scared, confused, sad, and much of the time angry at not knowing what to do about her situation. After a lifelong struggle of living an unauthentic life, Jessica took one of the hugest steps any human could do to live their best life. She became a transgender female, and a journey that brought her to becoming a transgender advocate and living her best life. And I want to welcome you, Jessica, to our show today.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here today.
Yes.
So happy to meet you, Jessica.
Thank you.
You know, I think we should begin with, you know, I'd like to hear from you, Jessica, because there's so many questions, and I'm sure our listeners have a lot of questions and maybe even misconceptions. And I would love for you to perhaps begin with when you realized the first time maybe you were uncomfortable with your body, if you felt like something wasn't quite right, that you weren't living the life that you should be living.
I can go all the way back to age 5 and tell you that at that age, I knew I was different. I remember in particular, it was like age 5, 6 years old. Christmas time came along and I have 2 younger sisters. One's 2 years younger and the other was 4 years younger. And they got these adorable dolls. And I looked at both my parents as everybody's unwrapping their presents. And I go, oh, that's really cool. Can I have one of those? And my father went ballistic. And then, so that just, you know, quelled that immediately. And then Easter came along, same year, you know, into the Easter season. And my sisters got these beautiful dresses with petticoats. And I thought that was really cool too. And I'm like, I went to my mom this time. I thought maybe I'd have better luck just going to mom. And I said, Mom, can I get a dress like that too? And she's, oh no, dear. No, you can't. And you cannot ask for anything like that ever again. It won't end well for you or me. So that's how far back I can go in knowing when my journey started. You know, I knew then that I was different and that I wanted something, but I also learned right away that I needed to hide that or else there was going to be hell to pay. So,
yeah. So you're always feeling, I'm sure in school and all of that, that you were like this round peg trying to fit into that square hole the whole time.
Yeah, well, so even when I was that young and maybe even a little older, you know, my first choice of who I would hang with and what I wanted to do was hanging with the girls in the neighborhood and stuff, which my father didn't like either. Got myself into trouble with that. So I realized early on that, you know, my tendencies were all female tendencies, and I needed to figure out how I was going to survive because everybody expected me to be the male. So I ended up watching the boys and watched what the boys did and then emulated that, because I honestly, by design, I didn't do it naturally. You know, I wanted to, I naturally was going to do all the other things, which was getting me into trouble. So I watched them, emulated it, and I became a lifelong actor. Being a male, you know, because that's what I was told I needed to do. That was what I was told was the only right thing to do. And that anything else that I was thinking was completely wrong on many levels.
Right, right. So you acted your way like through high school.
Even in high school. Even in high school, I was bullied a lot in high school. And I don't know that anybody knew why they were bullying me. They just knew that I was different. And it wasn't that I was coming across feminine to them, because I did a very good job of hiding my femininity. Oh. Very good. I did very well in private. And I was dressing up, you know, all along. You know, I just didn't tell anybody, you know, but they knew I was different. And it was something about me that bugged the crap out of them. And basically they bullied on me. I got beat up numerous times. And I guarantee if you went back to them and asked them, you know, why they had a problem with me, they wouldn't be able to answer it very well, because they weren't sure what it was about me that bugged them, but they just did not like me. So, and that it was all to do what was going on inside, you know, and there was something about it that was coming through that they couldn't quite put their finger on, because I was acting the whole time as a male. So even though I really knew I wasn't.
So you were attracted to men then?
No. I've been attracted to girls as long as I've been, you know, attracted to anybody. So
okay.
I dated, you know, when I became of dating age, I dated women. I married a woman when I was 30, 31 years old. Was married to her for almost 25 years, had 2 beautiful daughters. And then I dated for another 2 years after divorce. And then I finally said, I got to deal with this. And finally ended up getting a therapist. I was going on when I went to move in with my wife, we bought a house just before we got married, like the year before. And up to the day I moved out of the apartment that I had and moved into that house with my future wife, I owned wigs, I owned dresses, I owned makeup, and I was dressing up still on a regular basis, right up to the day when I had to move out. And then I reluctantly took all that and threw it away because I knew I wasn't going to be able to bring it with me. And I was scared to death of being found out. So I threw it all away. I said, well, I'm getting married. This is going to fix me. And I'm not going to need this anymore. Mm. And so I threw it all out and then moved in with her. Now, I lived a great life with my wife, and we had two great kids. And, you know, we were boaters, and we spent much of our time together boating in the summertime and stuff. Went to all kinds of great places from Connecticut to Maine and back. And I was occupied quite a bit. So while I was occupied, you know, thinking about the other side of me, you know, was muted quite a bit just because I was so occupied, but it was always there. It never went away. Mm. And as soon as I got divorced, the very next day I went out and bought wigs and makeup and a dress again. And immediately got dressed up the day after after she moved out of the house. I immediately got that stuff again. And I would go out on dates I go to work as a guy. I'd go on dates with women. And then I'd come home and get dressed up and feel like, oh, okay, now I can be me, the real me, you know?
So other than a therapist, you never shared that with her.
So after 2 years of doing this, I finally got I went and got a book because it was getting to the point. It was like, it was bugging me. All right, this is like taking over. I'm not comfortable unless I go home and dress up. I got to figure this out. So I went and looked up, you know, books about this type of thing. Now at this point, this was only 7 years ago now. So the world was awake at this point, you know, there's LGBT, there's, you know, transgender, there's people that are famous that are, you know, going through these things. So I'm aware of it now, but I still didn't align myself with being transgender. I just really never made that connection, you know? So I went and got a Kindle book, and I'm not a big reader. And I read this book in 3 days, just consumed it right away. And I got done reading that book. I went, oh boy, I think I know what I am now. And I said, I better do this one more time just to be sure. So I went and got another book. Somebody else's story. And the funny thing was, with both these books, as I'm reading through them, it's like, you know, as different as their stories were, they were totally aligned with mine. And I was like, wow, they're telling my story. You know, it's kind of crazy. So I got through that second book. I went, oh boy, I'm transgender. Now what do I do?
Was that comforting to you though?
No. Well, it was comforting that I understood what it was. But then it was like, okay, what am I going to do about it? And my first inclination is, okay, I got to make this go away. And how am I going to make it go away? So as you started to bring up the therapist, I got a therapist. I looked locally for a therapist, couldn't find one. Finally, using the internet, I found one who did, you know, web meetings, and she was from California. I still use her to this day. She is a fabulous therapist, and she's, you know, works specifically with the transgender community. So I talked to her, and in the very first session, I told her my story, and she goes, well, you're transgender. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Now we both confirmed it. Now what? She goes, what do you want to do? I said, I want to make it go away. This is, you know, it's taking me over. I don't like it. I'm frustrated. I just want it to go away so I can live my life. Now you got to remember, at this point in my life, I'm 57 years old. I'm 6 feet tall. I weigh 230 pounds, mostly muscle. I was a little overweight, but I was just a big guy, you know, and bald, by the way.
Wow.
So we started.
No, I'm saying that for those who can't see you. Yeah, this your hair is just beautiful and long and blonde. So
yeah, well, it's amazing things you can do in this world nowadays. So. Yes. So I said, that's what I want to do. I want to make it go away. And she's like, well, it's never going to go away. You could choose to, you know, suppress it like you've done for 57 years and make that work like you've been doing up to this point, but it's never going to go away. You just got to decide what you want to do. And I'm like, well, what's the alternative? You know, I just described to you, you know, what I was like, I can't do anything about that. She goes, oh yes, you can. So she went through all the things that I could do to take me where I was and go down a path if I wanted to go down that path and get to some place where I would be happy. And I'm like, really? I can get to that? And she's like, yeah, you're a pretty strong person. I think you'd do very well with that. You just have to set your mind to it. So in that very first session, that very first time, I made a decision. Okay, well, if I want to be happy. That's my goal. Obviously I'm not happy. I dealt with this my whole life. I was frustrated when I was young, you know, and living a crazy life in my teens and 20s. And, you know, marriage took the thought of it away a lot, but it didn't make it go away. So I want to be happy. So I decided right then and there, I was going to embrace it rather than ignore it and transform myself. And so I set off to do that. Now I was 57, as I said, and my goal was to go through any surgeries that I was going to get, which was pretty much the whole boat, I was going to get those done in that 3 years. Was an extremely aggressive timeline, but I did it. I got it all done.
3 years.
Yeah, I did it. And so I got it all done.
May I ask, does insurance cover any of that?
That's a very good question. So in the state of Connecticut, a number of years ago, they passed a law that said that any surgeries that were necessary to deal with dysphoria would be covered by insurance. But the way they wrote it is extremely gray. And so what you find mostly is that gender surgery is covered mostly, and that the other surgeries are not. Some of the insurance companies will do breast augmentation. Some of them will even do facial, but most of them will only do the gender reassignment surgery. So, and that's what ended up happening for me. So I own my own business and I do pretty darn well. So I paid for my facial surgery. I paid for my voice surgery. I paid for electrolysis and laser, and then the gender surgery, I got covered. Probably just a little over 80% of it was covered by insurance.
Hmm. So when you say voice surgery,
yep.
I thought hormones would take care of that, but are you talking?
It may soften it up just a little bit, but the way it really works is, as you grow older, if you are a male, your vocal cords end up being longer than that of a female. And that's how you end up with a deeper voice. So when you have voice surgery, I've had it more than once because of, and I'll explain. So the first time I had it, they did what they called the triple play. And the triple play is they go and they shave your Adam's apple. Mm-hmm. And then there's a piece there that slides up and down and they actually fuse that so it doesn't move anymore. And then the third thing they do is that they go in and they actually stitch up your vocal cords and make them shorter. And that's the part that raises your voice. So the first time I did that, you can't speak for a couple of weeks after you have the surgery. Mm-hmm. And when I first started to speak, I sounded like Minnie Mouse. I mean, it was ridiculously high. And then all of a sudden it just dropped like right back to where it used to be. And I had a fairly deep voice. And I go to the surgeon for, you know, follow-up, and I'm like, well, it was high for a second, and then it just went away because, yeah, your stitch came out. And I go, okay, what do we do about that? He goes, well, you pay me another $X,000, and I do it all over again. I mean, and I said, what? You're not going to just redo it? Your surgery didn't work. Oh, no, it doesn't work that way. You got to pay me more money. So, I didn't go back to him after that.
So you went to another surgeon.
I did. Actually, what I did was, after I had the voice surgery, the next surgery I had was my face surgery. That was an extensive surgery. That was an 11 and a half hour surgery. And they did chin reduction, lip raise, rhinoplasty, which is your cheeks. You know, they put implants in your cheeks, your nose, bags below my eyes removed, bags above my eyes removed. They cut your forehead from ear to ear, and they scrape your forehead to change the angle of your forehead to make it more feminine. And then a facelift and a neck lift. All in one surgery, 11 and a half.
Never thought of that. Just never thought about the shaping of your chin, or your forehead.
Yep.
Some of that, I'm jealous. I want some of that.
There you go. I may go back someday and have them tweak it a little bit. So we'll see. Why not?
Hours. So this is something that was life-changing. So
I looked a lot different before I started than I do now. A lot different. And I know this is just a radio program, but for your benefit, just so you can get an idea, that's what I looked like.
Oh, so different. Yes. That could be your older brother.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah. So the face surgeon wanted to do voice surgeries, and he offered to do it for free. All I had to do was pay for the hospital. He said, "I'll redo it. No charge. You're going to be my very first patient. You're willing to go down that path? That's what we'll do." So he redid it.
Was it painful afterwards?
No, you just don't talk. You know, it's a little sore. It's like, it's like a sore throat kind of thing, but it's not a big, that one's not bad. Gender surgery is very sore, and facial surgery was sore for it was tough for like 3 days. I wanted to die the first 3 days after surgery. Oh, and then after that, it was like, okay, I got this. No big deal. And within a month, I was on the beach in a bathing suit. So, I mean,
really? Oh, that's fascinating. Don't you think, we talk a lot, Charlene and I, about mindset. I think your mindset was so excited about this and so wanted to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Why do all these surgeries to get to where you wanted to be?
I think that mindset is a huge piece of going through this. I belong to many groups online. I listen to a lot of people commenting and for lack of a better way of putting it, complaining about where they are and, how other people perceive them. And what I constantly say to all of them is that you got to stop. You got to think about you. This is not about them. This is about you. And if you have the right mindset, you go at this. It's a fabulous journey, but you have to be in the right place up here. It's all about that. It really is. And it's still, that's an ongoing thing, right? So, and that's true for everybody, but especially when you're going through such a big change, having the right mindset is super key.
Oh, super key. We'll take a break in a couple of minutes, but I have so many things that I want to ask Charlene. I'm sorry, I'm not letting you talk.
Well, I know a lot of this part of the story.
Well, that's because true. You know,
so I wanted you to have, have your time with Jessica. But in our next segment, I want to talk to Jessica about her business and how her business has changed and gotten better since she became Jessica.
So let me ask my questions and then we'll do that this one question. And I think when Caitlyn Jenner, became Caitlyn Jenner, the world started to talk about it. And there's this one question that no one has ever really answered that I heard the answer to. So they said, well, if you were a man, and now you're a woman, but you don't want to be with a man, then aren't you just a lesbian? So I don't like to give people labels. I really don't, because that boxes it in. But do you get that question?
All the time. And okay. I find it funny as can be, because you're comparing apples to kumquats. Your gender identity and your sexual orientation have nothing to do with each other. They're completely separate. But everybody puts them all in the same box and assumes that, if you're female, you must like men. If you're male, you must like females. And then that's the box they know. But no, that's not the case. Definitely not. Okay. And I gladly expand on that when you get back from your break, if you want.
Let's do that. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with Jessica Riley and talking so much more about business and her personal life. Be right back.
Are you ready to live a life filled with abundance and learn how to thrive, not just survive in today's world? Then tune in to Abundance, Money, Marketing, and Mindset with Joyce Logan and Charlene Chiaro every Friday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. With their combined wisdom as entrepreneurs, motivational speakers, author, and counselors, Joyce Logan and Charlene Chiaro will share ways for shifting into the life you desire for today's world. They'll help you go from panic to peace in your personal and professional life.
Do you suffer with stress, anxiety, and chronic fears? Then you need to read Dr. Joyce Logan's book, Starving Your Fears, From Panic to Peace in 10 Easy Steps. Dr. Logan also suffered with anxiety, and through her years of research, she healed herself and helped countless others in her private practice. Starving Your Fears will give you the tools you need to change your life from panic to peace. Order Starving Your Fears by Joyce Logan on Amazon.com or go to joycelogan.com. During a time when the veil between worlds is thinnest, join expert mediums to make contact with angels, departed loved ones, and your highest self. Guided by experts in mediumship, clairvoyance, and spirit guide communication, discover how to harness the wisdom from the other side. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for the Wisdom Beyond the Veil at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, October 29th to the 31st. Learn more at eomega.org.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Are you ready to live your wow life now? Then tune in Wednesdays at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time for Wealth of Wellness with Gina Rhoda and Marsha Martin. Join Gina and Marsha during their live shows every third Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Gina and Marsha offer intuitive guidance, empowering insights, educational, inspirational tools, and universal wisdom that will help you explore and discover the miraculous, mystical, and spiritual principles of life. Are you ready to get your wow life on now, please?
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Hi, and we're back with Jessica Riley, and we're talking about so many interesting things. But one thing, before we get into the talk about your business and how it affected that, can you share a little bit how it affected your children, your immediate family? And
sure. So as I had said earlier, I have two beautiful daughters. They're now almost 28 and 30. The younger one was living with me as I started my transition. The older one had moved out a while earlier. And the younger one is actually like my biggest advocate. She is in my corner 110%.
Oh, great.
And I love her dearly for it. She takes great pride in introducing me to people. She works on an island and is a manager of a restaurant. And I will come into that restaurant and sit down, and she'll bring somebody up to me and say, "I'd like to introduce you to Jessica Riley, my dad." And then wait for the reaction and just loves to watch what happens. She enjoys doing that. The older one, it's a different story. She loves me. I love her, but we do not have that relationship. She got married like 3 years ago now. And she decided she was not going to let me walk her down the aisle when she got married, because she wanted a man to do it. So she had her cousin walk her down the aisle. So, and her husband, he cannot handle this. Neither can his parents. You know, they won't touch me. They, you know, like I go to my daughter's house and everybody's there. Everybody goes to leave and everybody's hugging each other. And my son-in-law is like, you know, got the hand way up. Okay, good to see you. Bye now. So
everyone handles things differently.
They do. Yeah. And I have, you know, cousins and stuff, which are a real mixed bag. Some of them handle it better than others. And then friends, the same thing. I had one friend, he was pretty much my best friend growing up, known him since I was 10. And when I told him this, his jaw dropped down. And to this day, I mean, he will be around me and stuff, but you can just see that he is totally uncomfortable with it, can't handle it, and stays away a lot more these days than he ever did before I transitioned. So it's a real mixed bag.
How do you handle that, Jessica? How do you, because you seem to have always such a positive outlook. And I mean, I know you longer than just this show, but you have such a positive outlook about how others are and your transition. Like, tell us about that.
So it's part of what we were talking about before with mindset, right? This is not about them. They have to interact with me. And I know that I'm still me. You know, I mean, some of my friends are saying, yeah, you're still crazy. You know, okay, great, thanks. But this is about me and what I needed for me. So I look at it like, okay, I'm here. I'm happy with me. You can be comfortable with it and we can get along great. And if you can't, then step aside because this train's coming through either way, you know? So I don't want to waste good energy on bad vibes, basically, I guess is what it boils down to, you know? You don't like it, step aside because I'm coming through anyway.
Good for you.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we can all learn something from that. Right.
So quickly, she had asked about the dating thing and, you know, and where you start with that. Right. So your sexual identity and your preference, you know, for men or women. I knew at an early age that I liked women, and that has never changed in my life. And I've had friends that have known me since I was, you know, high school or maybe even longer. And they saw all the women I went out with. You know, they saw that I got married. And yet, as soon as I went down this path of transitioning, one of the first things they asked is, so you're going to start dating men now? And I'm like, do you know me? How long have you known me? Have you ever seen me, you know, have an interest in a guy? No, I'm not going to date men. Why would I do that? And Joyce, to your question, yeah, I'm a male to female, transgender, lesbian. Yep.
Well, and that's where a lot of people have those questions.
There you go. So, and I'm totally comfortable with that. It is what it is.
Yes. Yes. And that's the most important thing, Jessica, as you know, that's it.
It's it. But it's for me, you know?
It's for you. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Just such beautiful energy around you. Just incredible.
Well, you know, that's something I try to share too, because so many people get wound up and get caught in their head about, you know, outside, the whole thing going outside of them. They're not paying attention to what's going on in there. And if you look internally more, you're going to be a hell of a lot better off. Makes it so much easier to move forward.
So Jessica, are you thinking of writing a book and maybe just handing it to everyone?
So there's somebody on this call is telling me that is in my very near future. So, Shirley's helping me with a lot of things. Right now we have a project going on, My Transgender Nation, which is just getting off the ground. And with that, we've got YouTube videos that are currently being done and then saved as audio only for, you know, Spotify podcasts. We have a Facebook page where I mostly put memes up, but also I show links to the YouTube videos that I'm doing and stuff like that. But we have a long-term goal, basically, you know, having a website up and being a source for everything transgender. So, you know, telling people the stories, telling them where to go get the things that they need.
Okay.
Giving them advice, maybe just, you know, sharing with them. So hopefully a one-stop shop is what we hope to do with it. And then obviously I'm told that the best way to do all of this is to have a book be a part of that. So it's in my future for sure.
Yes.
We'll get it done.
Good, good, good.
I am running a business beyond My Transgender Nation. So, you know, I kind of have a few balls in the air, but we're going to figure it out.
Right. So, Charlene, are you working on My Transgender Nation website? Is that what you're doing?
We are. Yeah, we're building a website for Jessica's passion project, and we are bringing in all the other spokes that have to go with it. Obviously, Jessica is a wonderful speaker. I'd love to have her talk to young people and people in transition, people thinking about going through transition, helping them along their journey. And benefit from, you know, from Jessica's experience, but also learn a lot from her mindset. I think that, you know, whether you're doing a major transition in your life like Jessica did, or just maybe getting a new job or whatever. I mean, Jessica's mindset and her attitude is infectious. She's so positive, and she's very practical and methodical with how she does things. And I think that type of energy and that type of outlook on your life, no matter what you're doing, is something that everyone can benefit from. And one of the reasons why we picked today's topic to be live your best life, because Jessica is building and being and living her best life right now. And I think we all need to strive to do that, because we don't know how long we have. And why not be happy, living an authentic life with what you love? I mean, if you love being at the beach, why are you living in the mountains? Go move to the beach. Like there's a way to do anything, and Jessica found her way, and we can all find our way too.
Yeah.
It was a long time coming. I mean, I had two beautiful children, I did have a great life, but it wasn't me. And other than having those two wonderful daughters, making this transition is the best thing I've ever done. It's fabulous. I wake up smiling every day.
I love that. Jessica, I'm sure you're not a person who lives in regrets at all, but I just wonder, do you ever feel, God, I wish I did this earlier?
Oh, God, yes, I do think about that. Well, so there's so much out. No, we all live on the internet nowadays, right? And I belong to a million groups. So I see all these young people that are actually starting transition before puberty has taken over their bodies, And for them, when they get the blockers started before puberty hits, they never become male at all. They've stopped the process. So they don't end up with the big hands and the big feet, and the jawline and the bigger frame, because their body's not going down that path. And then they add in the hormones when they're of age, and then they get, they got a female body. What a difference that makes, Plus, they got to live an entire life as a woman instead of, waiting to age 57 to start, So it's like, woulda, shoulda, coulda, but you know what? I'm here now. I'm going to make it work. So this is good.
I never realized that you could start it young, that young, before puberty.
So what they do typically is they won't put them on hormones at first, but they'll give them blockers to stop the testosterone from affecting their bodies. And so because they're on blockers, basically all they're doing is putting off puberty. So they give them the blockers, and then they get of age and they say, okay, I still want to do this. I don't want to be a man. Then they put them on hormones at the right age. And then eventually, they go down the surgery path and everything else. But because they started so early and got the blockers, the maleness never show up. Which is just, it makes such, there's so many of them out there now. And if you look at them, you would never guess in a million years that they were born male. It just, there's no chance, They're just, right. Just so feminized just because their body never became male at all.
And does that surgery, before they have surgery, require more documentation from a psychiatrist?
Yeah, so it also depends on where you are and who you have for doctors. And I think you'll find that most of them they don't mind putting them on blockers, but they don't want to do anything else until they get, I don't know the exact numbers, but it might be 16 or 18, something along those lines. But the blockers, they're willing to do that earlier because you're not actually doing anything. Because if you take them off the blockers, then all you've done is postpone puberty. If they did it for a couple of years, say, I want to be a guy. Then they take them off the blockers, they go through puberty, they just started a little later, and there you go.
Right.
How important is therapy to this process? Because I think
important is what? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Therapy.
Oh.
Therapy.
Therapy. Okay. Nowadays, people try to skirt that. I don't need that. Well, yeah, you do. You hear all these horror stories now about people that are, going through these things and stuff, and then going, maybe I didn't really want to do that. Maybe I was just a cross dresser, this and that. Therapy is huge. I was never big on therapy. Okay. When I was married, at the end of our, we were married, like I said, almost 25 years. The first 20 years were fabulous. We did really, really good. But the one thing I didn't bring up was the fact that my wife left me. I didn't leave her. My wife left me. She was seeing a therapist and came to me and told me, oh, I'm lesbian. I was lesbian before I met you. I'm leaving you and I'm going to find a woman.
So did you know that at all? Did you suspect?
No. So that's the point. So we were both going through stuff and neither of us were sharing anything. So we were starting to fall apart in the latter part of our marriage. So she wanted to go to therapy for husband and wife therapy. And so I reluctantly was willing to do that. And I hated it. I was like, I'd rather have somebody stick a pen in my eye than do that. It did not go over well for me. So when it finally came to later, when I'm deciding I got to do something about what's going on, I was a little older, a little wiser, but I recognized there was no way I was going to do this correctly on my own. I didn't, I needed help. So having the right therapist is such a key piece of it. But yeah, having a therapist is the right way to go about this. There's so many ways that they can help you, So I still use her today. She's fabulous. I don't use her as much nowadays. If I talk to her once in every 2 months, it's a lot these days. But every once in a while, I get myself in a mood or something, and I'll text her and say, okay, I need a session. She's like, okay, no problem. Here we go. Let's do it. So, yes, I need a therapist. It's the best way to do it.
Yes, yes, especially, I just thought of your oldest daughter. So I know she had, issues struggling this with you, but what about with her mother? Has she come to terms more with her mother, because that's more traditional in a way? I'm a lesbian.
So the older daughter, when my ex moved out of, when my ex told us that, she was lesbian, my older daughter immediately moved out of the house. That was her initial response. Okay. She ran away. Now the two of them are best friends.
Ah.
So she had a immediate response of negativity, and now she can't get through life without her mother. So she came full circle on that. With me, she came half circle back.
Right. And do you have a relationship at all with your ex-wife?
Yeah. I mean, it's different. I don't think she's all that comfortable with it, with me, which is, I think it's funny as heck, especially the fact that she's lesbian. And she was lesbian before I met her. I didn't know that till she decided to get a divorce and she told me. But when I first told her that I was going to transition, the first words out of her mouth was, well, what are you going to do when your business fails?
Oh.
And I was like, what do you mean? Why would my business fail? Why am I going to have a problem? She goes, oh, well, who's going to want to do business with you after you've gone through this transition? Which that kind of put me back. And I'm like, I don't think it's going to be a problem. She was convinced it was definitely going to be a problem. But we have, we have two beautiful daughters together. We went to the wedding of the older one, like I said, almost 3 years ago now. We were there together. We get along fine. It's a different relationship now, obviously, than it was back then. But, we don't fight or anything, and we communicate. She'll check on me once in a blue moon and say, how are things going? And I'll say, great, but we don't have long discussions about it. We've never had the discussion, since. And I think there should be one, but I don't know. I don't think she's comfortable with that idea. So I'll just let it ride and see what happens.
Maybe when she listens to your videos and sees all.
Yeah, I'm hoping my daughters point her to that. Let her
yes.
Because yeah. That'll tell her a lot that she doesn't understand already. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is always the extreme immediate family that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Judges the most.
And I know you're running out of time here, but you asked about the business as well. So I had the same mixed bag with work. I don't anymore. She just actually left my organization several months ago, but I had a bookkeeper, an elderly woman as a bookkeeper who was very good at what she does, but she was very set in her ways. And she really had a major hard time with me going through this. Mm-hmm. Especially seeing how the name I chose was the same as her daughter's name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that did it. She's out.
That was it. She was it. She had enough. But I have, what's interesting is I have two gay men that work for me and have for last 15 years. So they were super cool about it. You know, like, okay, whatever, you know, move on. And then I had a mixed bag with customers. I have some, you know, I work in technology arena, and there's a lot more men than women in it. And I've had contacts and customers for years that were all, you know, men, and they're manly men. And they did fine when they were doing business with CJ. But as soon as, you know, showed up with blonde hair, it was like supposedly my brain just got pulled out of my head or something. And I didn't know everything that I had, you know, known for the last 30 years anymore. Apparently now I'm stupid, you know? So it was amazing how differently I got treated once I transitioned, especially by men. It's a whole different thing. And you know what? I don't think I ever really cared where that was going to go. I was told it was going to happen. You know, you're going to lose your privilege because you're going to be a female. Now I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to be happy. So we'll make it work. But there was definitely a difference. And but my business has grown. It has not. I think it's bigger now than it ever was. So it's done well.
Of course, because you have that energy going forward.
That's it. And I'm good at what I do. So, you know, whether I got blonde hair or bald head, I still know what I'm doing. So
bravo. Bravo. Bravo to Jessica. We are honored to have you as our last guest before the holidays, because Charlene and I are going to be taking a little break for the next couple of months. And we're going to come back in January. And thank you all for listening. And Charlene, it's been a pleasure as always. And I'm so grateful to have met Jessica. You've changed me in many ways. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you, Joyce. And thank you for everybody out there who listened to us. We're excited to come back in the new year. And we have some new things planned. And we're excited about those. We just need a little bit of time to actually find time.
You're too busy helping others.
Yes. I know. Jessica, your story is so inspiring and motivating. And I hope that everybody finds the message in there and lives their best life.
I hope they do too.
We love you all. Bye for now.
Bye. Thank you.
Listen in next time to Abundance, Money, Marketing, and Mindset with radio hosts Joyce Logan and Charlene Chiaro on Fridays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Take the journey with Joyce and Charlene and learn how to go from panic to peace in your personal and professional life. With years of experience and training working with those with stress and financial burdens, they have the tools to share with you to change your life. Abundance is all about helping you to achieve your goals in today's world. To work with Charlene or Joyce, or to ask them a question, email hello@abundancetalkradio.com or website abundancetalkradio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.